Okay, I will address it. The air conditioning in here is pretty much non-existent. This building is on two units, and one of those units has gone out. You remember last summer was hot, and they did an evaluation, and they said they have to spend about $25,000 to get a new unit in here, and it would last us through this summer because we're vacating this building in a few months, certainly by next summer at this time. And so the question became, do we spend $25,000 on a unit here? Do we put $25,000 into the new building? And so keep on fanning is all I can say, all right? I'm hot too, and it is what it is, and it's a 3 month reality. There is one unit that is struggling to work, and so we opted to use the resources in new building. And Gene's right, we got an awesome facility for our class in the new building, but in the meantime, dress casual, dress light, dress cool. It is hot. All right, what can I tell you? It is what it is. I know you're not just waving at me. You're hot. A couple of announcements that I want you to be aware of. First, many of you have responded back to me on the services last week with the Marines, Combat Marine Outdoors, and they were pretty awesome, were they not? They're beautiful kids. Pray for them. The young man who gave testimony at the end, who's now, he was blown up by a suicide bomber bringing a truck to a bridge that he was guarding, and the bomb that detonated destroyed the bridge, sent him about 80 yards, broke his back on the fall, and a piece of concrete from the bridge hit on his lungs, and what do you call it when you lose all the air out of both your lungs? Collapsed your lungs, and it was a miracle that he's alive, but he's now a sophomore at Texas A&M doing very, very well, and he, at the end of the services, said, I'm ready to sit down and talk with you, Brother Chuck, as a preacher. So pray for him. That's Stephen May, and so this is good. Amen. Chris, who you've prayed for a long, long time, could not make the steps. He's lost one of his legs, may lose the other leg. He may not have both his legs soon, and he was in prosthetic limbs on one of his legs, and he could not make the steps in the last service. He's just too much pain. But there's been a wonderful warming in his heart and his spirit, and he's come a long, long way. Keep praying for Chris. And so it's very, very, very good, and thank you for your love and support of those guys. The last guy I want to tell you about is Sergeant Arturo Garcia. He's the master sergeant, which was in his dress blues up on stage. You have to understand, John made an announcement a number of times that the guys weren't going to be here for the 8 o'clock service. Do you remember that? Because they were coming from Brooks Army Medical Facility, and they're getting up early, and they just couldn't get up that early. And then they said, John said, well, I'd really like them here. So I called and said, is there any way you can make it? Said, well, yeah, we can come in Saturday if you mind putting us up. I said, okay, we'll put you up. I'll put you in my house, and the problem was that, and then they said, would you take us fishing? So, yeah, then they came in Friday, all right? Man, I was worn out. It's like grandkids, you know? And so took them fishing. They caught a lot of fish. It was wonderful. But Master Sergeant Arturo Garcia, and in the last minute, his wife, and they've been having some marriage problems, his wife left and said, you got the kids this weekend. Well, he made a commitment to us. And so he ended up bringing three kids to Houston, one 5, 6, and 7 years old, and came late, late Saturday night. So we put up in the motel room. I put him in the Marriott down the Gulf Freeway. You would think that'd be fairly safe, nice hotel. He got in very, very late at night, so his first concern was to get the kids up to the room. He got the kids up in the room. 30 minutes later, he's down to his car, and his car had been broken into. And the car had been broken into, and they took a computer, and they took two guns, and they did whatever thieves do to get to the car, took out the locking mechanism. Sunday afternoon, there he was in his dress blues, climbing through the passenger side over the console to get into his car, get into his truck to drive it. And he's got anytime your things are stolen from your car, it's homeowners. And so homeowners now is 1%. So if you've got a $150,000 home, first $1,500 isn't taken care of. So he came here to bless our church, and it's costing him a couple of thousand dollars. And I'm thinking, what a terrible testimony of our city. And I'm going to do something. Some people in other classes said they want to do something. If you would like to try to reimburse Arturo Garcia, I've got a little white envelope here. Absolutely no pressure on any of your place. But if you would like to see to it that Arturo Garcia doesn't have a bill from having come to Sagemont to be a blessing to our church, you could put something in here. Let it go all the way to the back. Give it to Mike at the end. If you wanted to do a check, you can make it out to Sagemont. We'll take care of it. Or to Combat Marine Outdoors. Either way, that's what that white envelope will be used for. Okay? Please, no pressure to do that. I'm going to do something. You might want to do something for Master Sergeant Arturo Garcia as well. And then lastly, every year we have a member in our second class, Michael Hutchison and Deborah Hutchison. Their son was killed in Mosul, Iraq, in 2003. They have a benefit for future heroes through the Clear Creek Independent School District. It's down at the South Shore Harbor Convention Center. This will be Salute to Heroes number 7. I have a flyer right here. They have allowed me to be the master of ceremonies at that. They've raised well over $120,000 to prepare future heroes, people who come in out of school, going to college. And we take an opportunity to salute yesterday's heroes and then prepare tomorrow's heroes. This year, I'm going to salute four different groups. I'm going to salute a Marine from Sagemont, Joe McPhail, who's Colonel McPhail, who flew Corsairs in World War II and in Korea, over 200 combat missions. And then we're going to salute Les Hansen, who's in our 930 class, and Les served in the Vietnam War with Special Forces. And he was over there in Cambodia when Nixon was swearing nobody was in Cambodia. And he was saying, I don't know where I was, but I was told it didn't exist. So, yeah, that's where he was. And then we're going to have the Combat Marine Outdoors are going to be there from Afghanistan and Iraq. So we'll have four different generations of warriors. And so if you're interested in that, I have a flyer here. I only have about 10 tickets left, and they're $25 a piece. That is a sit-down dinner, and it's a fundraiser. And so if you're interested in that, I have tickets up here. You can come see me after class. May have a few still next week, but I am just not sure. All right? Okay, I think that's it on the announcements. Turn to your Bibles to the book of Luke, 1 Luke, if you will. Hey, I'll pass this around, too. Here is Chris as a warrior prior to losing his leg. Some of you might like to see that. Continue to pray for Chris. And looks like quite a warrior right there. All right, we're in the book of Luke, first chapter. Stuart's gone incredibly slow. We're in the 46th verse, all right? It just is what it is. We're in the 46th verse. This particular part of the text is called the Magnificat. It is also called Mary's Song, also called the Canticle of Mary. This portion of the text is incredibly similar to the Song of Hannah in 1 Samuel, the second chapter. This song, this Mary's song, is sung at Vespers. That's the evening worship services in Catholicism. And so I guess this is an appropriate time to just say a few things about Mary veneration, Mary worship, if you will, from a Protestant evangelical viewpoint, because you have to understand the insight of Mary runs a pretty big gauntlet in Christian circles, all the way from one end of the spectrum to Mary worship, to the other end of the spectrum, no admiration whatsoever. And so here are the questions I want you to process before we go into the text. And I'm not asking for an answer, I just want you to process them. How special is Mary? How special is Mary? And then the second question that I want you to process, similar to the first one, how should we respond to her today? How special is she, and how special should we respond to her? She is unique, by the way. Mary's incredibly unique. She bore the Christ child. She gave birth to the Son of God. So that's incredibly unique. That having been said, I want to put an addendum, but Roman Catholic doctrines, there's a couple of them, of her sinless life. That's a doctrine in Roman Catholic circles, that she was sinless. Of her perpetual virginity, of her bodily assumption into heaven, I would say to you, have absolutely no warrant in Scripture. None. In fact, the thing about her perpetual virginity is contrasted in Scripture. And so you have to understand that there are some traditions that aren't backed up by the Word of God as it relates to Mary. In fact, there's an implicit warning against excessive veneration of Mary. In Luke chapter 7, verse 27, There, Luke tells us that once Jesus had spoken, and there was, and I'm quoting, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that you sucked." And he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And then in another place, in Luke the 8th chapter, verse 19 through 21, it says, "His mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him for the crowd. And he was told, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you.' But he said to them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" So I just say in those instances, surely Jesus gave what seems to be a fairly sharp rebuke. But let's not let the excesses of Catholic tradition keep us from sharing admiration of Mary. Luke obviously had real admiration for Mary. And so I think that you and I ought to keep a very strong admiration of Mary, but we ought to be very, very careful of letting that admiration go over into worship of Mary. That would be, from my perspective, out of bounds. And so what we have in the text today is the Magnificat, Mary's song of praise to the Lord. The word Magnificat comes from the Latin version, the Vulgate, that the Catholics used, where verse 46 says, "Magnificat amona mea dominion," that is, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And before we go any further, it's fair to ask, does your soul magnify the Lord? It is a right thing to do. Her soul is magnifying the Lord. And in the next verses, she, eight different times, she magnifies the Lord, having said, "He has, he has, he has." Do you give praise to the Lord, acknowledging his goodness and grace and mercy? That's what Mary is doing in the Magnificat, and that's what we ought to do 24/7. We used to sing the praise song, if you remember it. "I will magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. I will magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised." And blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. And so we ought to magnify the Lord and acknowledge that he is the one who has saved us, which is exactly what Mary has done in the next verse after she's magnified the Lord. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." And so I want you to understand right up front that Mary understood she had a need for a what? A Savior. And so for those that would contend, the Romanists contend that Mary was born without inbred sin, the scriptures don't seem to bear that out at all. Mary understood that she had a need for a Savior. And you and I do too, by the way, have a need for the Savior. And so then you get to the next verse where she makes a statement which I think has been greatly misunderstood. It's a statement where Mary said, "And because of this, the Lord, all generations will call me blessed." Do you see that? Now, some would say, well, that seems a little prideful to me. That seems a little bit like she is patting herself on the back. And now I'm going to defend Mary and say, that's not what that means. This is now I got to play the preacher and kind of give you a little bit of Greek here. This is a miscomprehension on this word blessed. You have this English word, blessed, and that English word comes from two completely different Greek words. More often than not, the word blessed is coming from the Greek word eulogiza, to eulogize. And to eulogize or to eulogia means to speak well of. And usually when you see this word blessed in the Bible, it came from that Greek word, eulogia, which means to speak well of. And when you bless the Lord, what you're doing is speaking well of the Lord. When you go to a funeral service and somebody is doing a eulogy, what they are doing is speaking well of the person deceased. When you look in verse 42 of this text, you see the word blessed. It's that Greek word, eulogize, or to speak well of. Different Greek word here in verse 48. Different Greek word. It's not this word eulogia. Mary is not saying everybody's going to speak well of me or of generations to come. That's not what she's saying at all. The Greek word here in verse 48 is the Greek word markazio. Marcasio. And it has a different meaning than to just speak well of. Marcasio literally means to be indwelt by God and therefore fully satisfied. That's what it means. Indwelt by God and therefore fully satisfied. When you read the Beatitudes, blessed be the Beatitudes, in the Gospels, if you read in a paraphrase like the Living Bible, it will translate happy is the person for blessed. That's a little bit trite to me. It's this word, Marcasio, indwelt by God and therefore fully satisfied, and the translation paraphrase has happy. No, it means different. It's more than that. And what Mary is saying here is not, I'm just happy. It's not, everybody's going to speak well at me. Mary's not saying, she'll be spoken well of. What she's saying is, because God has indwelt me, because I've been indwelt by God, this fact was going to be recognized and declared for generations to come. The praise again was not Mary to Mary, it was praise to God. And so, what Mary is doing here is acknowledging God has visited in a special way, and all generations are going to recognize that. That's what Mary is saying. And then she launches into her praises. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed great strength with his arms, and he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his cereal. Hopen is an old word. We don't use anymore. Given help to his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and his seed is forever. And so eight great he has in the text that we've just looked at. Do you acknowledge that he hath done great things in your midst? Anybody give testimony to something he hath done that you would say, he's blessed me in that he hath done this great thing on my behalf? Somebody. The rocks will shout out if you don't. Sue, he has healed you. Amen. Is it a permanent healing forever and forever? No, it's not. That's all right. But he's healed you and given you longevity of life. Amen? Somebody else, he hath done great things. Yes?
Well, I've been out of work for 3.5 years. I'm still eating. I still have a roof over my head. I still have transportation.
He's provided. Amen. He hath done great things. Somebody else, yes? Amen. He has saved me. Somebody else, yes? Kathy? So you're cooler at home than you are here. Amen. He hath done great things. Somebody else. He hath done great things. Somebody. Anybody. Yes. Lynn. Did he need saving 4 or 5 times? Healed. I'm sorry. I hear you. Got it. Very good. Healed him several times. He hath done great things. Do you expect him to do a great thing today? I do, folk. I do. I don't know how. I mean, I'm thinking about $2 million+, and I'm going, okay, we laid it out pretty strong prior to Christmas, and you gave sacrificially, and many of you sacrificed your Christmas, and you gave about $2 million. And this isn't even Christmas, and we need a $2 million. I'm going, it's going to take quite a miracle. But then I got to remember, and I wasn't here during the 40 days thing. But he did a miracle. I was at dinner with my family last night, and my little daughter Amanda was saying, I was here when we went to the sanctuary. Anybody remember going to the sanctuary when it was empty and we didn't have chairs and we had a service? We needed $800,000 or we're going to have to put everything on hold. Do you remember all that? And my daughter brought that up and said, I remember that service. I went, man, she was little bitty. And I said, what do you remember about it, Amanda? She said, I remember all those adults crying. And I thought, oh, yeah, God did a great thing. And that's why they were crying. She didn't know why they were crying. She said, it scared me. They were all crying. You know, here's the deal. I don't know how God's going to supply $2 million today. I don't know how. And I don't even know if he's going to. I don't know. I trust he will. I believe he will. I think he can. But I'm not going to be mad if he doesn't. We're going to get this building finished. We're going to get it finished. But I know this. Even if I weren't a staff member, I'd be at the service. Because I wouldn't want to be home when he shows up in a wonderful way and say, oh, I missed it because I was watching Idol or something like that. I want to be there when God shows up in a wonderful way. And I think there's very real possibility, maybe even probability, that he will. That's all I'm saying. He's done it past tense. He hath done great things in Sagemont's history a number of times. Gene, you were giving testimony to that with the Mickey Lightfoot story earlier. He's done it over and over again. I think he's going to do it today. I don't want to not be here, is what I'm saying. 6 o'clock, we've got over 50 ready to be baptized. That's pretty special right there. 7 o'clock worship service, and we'll hear some numbers. I'm just looking forward to more great things. That's what I'm saying. He hath done great things. And Mary abode with her. She's at Elizabeth's house. Remember the story of Elizabeth and Zacharias? You know, Angel Gabriel showed up. Angel Gabriel said, you're going to have child. Your wife's going to have child. She was old in years, and he didn't think it was going to happen. And the angel struck. Remember the story? Zacharias can't speak. And so now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. Clearly, this is family from Zacharias' side of the family, all right? Any of you ever have a family feud before? Come on, come on. Yeah, I see you doing this. What we got here is a family feud. Okay, the family's there, and everybody's celebrating, great joy, baby's born, and Zachariah's side of the family has decided the baby needs to be named after daddy. Let's call him Zachariah. And so they tell Elizabeth that. Let's call him Zachariah. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he should be called John. Why? Why John? Because the angel had said, you're going to call this baby John. And so the family's saying, Zachariah, let's take a vote. Zachariah. And the mother goes, it's John. Not let's debate it. Let's get out the baby book and look at all the good names. This baby's name is John. And it says, and they said unto her, there's none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to the father how he would have him called. Any of you in the family ever have what's called an end run? I.e., you've been to one parent and you didn't like the answer the one parent gave. And so they go to the other parent trying to get, yeah, right here. You're trying to get another answer. What you have here in the Bible is an end run. You've got family. Okay, we don't like what Elizabeth has said. So now let's go try to get Zacharias on our side. And it's curious. They're making signs to Zacharias. I knew he couldn't speak. But he can't hear? I guess he's deaf and dumb. I don't know. But they're doing sign language with Zechariah. And so what does Zechariah do? It says he asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote saying, his name is John. And they all marveled. Wow, no more unbelief here. It may have taken 9 months. Remember, he couldn't speak because of his unbelief. It may have taken 9 months, but this baby is born, and now the family's quibbling about it. Now they're trying to get Zacharias on the set, and he goes, nope, it's John. The point I'd like to make, sometimes in our unbelief, sometimes God will take us to the woodshed. Sometimes it may be a day, sometimes it may be a week, sometimes it may be 9 months, sometimes it may be years. Best that it not take years. When God is dealing with you, be pliable. Zechariah, out of his unbelief, paid the price for 9 months. But now when it's an issue again, he finally got on board. You see it? Zechariah's got on board. He tells the family, his name is John. Do you believe that God could strike you such that you'd be mute? Do you believe that God could heal you such that you could speak? You believe that? Does everybody believe that? No. I want you to hear something. I know this is old. It's on a CD track. I'm going to put it right here, Brenda. Thank you. There's a book called Out of the Silence. This is a book produced by Focus on the Family. It's a true story. It's a story based right here in the Houston area. Dwayne Miller was a teacher at First Baptist Church under John Bisogno. He taught a Bible study class. Very gifted, and he ended up becoming pastor at First Baptist Church, Brenham. While pastor at First Baptist Church, Brenham, he contracted a virus that left him losing his speech. He had a raspy voice. You couldn't understand him. His speech got worse and worse and worse, and he had to resign his pastorate. He went to doctors over a two-year period. The doctor said, there's absolutely nothing we can do. You will lose your voice totally. He went back to First Baptist Church and began teaching his old Bible study class, and they hooked him up with a special microphone, and the people strained to listen to him. He's teaching in that Bible study class in 1993, and he's teaching out of the book of Psalms, and he's teaching on healing when God showed up. And they recorded his class, so we have it on tape. Listen to it.
Hello, this is Dwayne Miller. I was the senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Brenham, Texas, when I contracted an ordinary flu virus. Unfortunately, the virus was able to penetrate the nerves of my vocal cords, and I ultimately lost their use. For over 2 years, I saw specialists from across America and around the world. Their final diagnosis was that my voice would not return, and the raspy whisper which I was able to generate would be gone, likely within 2 more years. I had taught a Sunday school class of some 200 folks at Houston's First Baptist Church when I had served on staff there, so it was natural for me to return as a member of that class when I had to resign my ministry. They knew how much teaching the Word of God meant to me, and eventually this class furnished me a forum to again teach, even though my voice was getting harder and harder to understand. I obtained a special headset microphone, which was super sensitive and very directional. By putting the windscreen directly on my lips and shouting with all the strength I could muster, I could be heard most of the time. Feeling that my own voice was gone and my ministry with it, I had determined to teach this wonderful group of folks as long as the voice I had would hold out. God had other plans for me, and they became evident on Sunday morning, January the 17th, 1993. I was teaching a lesson based primarily on Psalm 103. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction or from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." As always, the lesson was being recorded. It was one of the worst days vocally that I had experienced. Every word seemed to require all the effort I could generate. Additionally, my subject matter was difficult for me to handle emotionally. I knew God had forgiven my sin. I knew that God could and did heal. But the question in my mind was, but why not me? So when the psalmist writes, "And he heals all of my diseases," let me say to you that I believe God still heals. That hasn't ended. That is not over. Now, you have to be careful on how you do this, because there are folks who carry things to an excess, and it becomes a show. And God has never intended that that be what it is. God heals in his sovereign will. I don't know why God does things that he does, but I know that he does. And the only thing he requires of me is to allow him to be God and me to be me, and let it be. So the psalmist says, "I'm excited. Bless the Lord, O my soul." One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. And then in verse 4 he says, "And he redeems my life from the pit." Now I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had pit experiences. We
We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer for the bed we found ourselves in. I don't understand this right now. I'm overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not quite sure what to say or do. Sounds funny to say, a loss for words.
Folks, this was he hath done great things. Folks, this was not an obscure healing service when the person coming down, nobody knew what the background was, what the circumstances were. This was a several-year process where this man was a pastor and had to resign his church and took back his old class and struggled with this voice. And doctor said, no way, you will reach a point where you can't speak at all. And in class, God restored his speech. Remember, he opened up this tape, and he spoke perfectly. God completely healed him while he was in class. He hath done great things. Is he still capable of doing great things in our midst? Absolutely. The answer is absolutely yes. You just heard, very audibly, a miracle transpire. He does great things. And when he does a great thing, what takes place? I'll come back to you, Tom. Is that your hand? What does he do? Look at what happens. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. Fear is awe. They went biblically in awe. Did you listen to the tape? That's what you call awe. I don't know what to say next. And it was just quiet for a while. It was just quiet for a while. When God shows up in a way, all takes place, and then the shouting starts in praise and glory to our Lord. Yeah, Tom? Beautiful. Tom, you had a testimony? I'm sorry, speak loud for Brother Chuck. You were there in that class? Tell us about it. Did we just hear all there was to tell? It was beautiful. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Tom. Yes, ma'am. The envelope has, well, you've already given $1,300. I'll let you keep on giving, all right? So take it right here. Whoop, now I'm sending my, we'll let Brenda pick it up. Oh. Morris, if you'd take it and send it back through here, it hadn't been on this side yet. Bless you. So don't miss, yes, in the very back, there's a hand. I'm sorry, I can't hear. Brenda's talking up here. Amen. He hath done great things. Now see the fruit of it in the text. I don't want you to miss the fruit. You've seen the miracle. Now see the fruit of it in the text. And all they that heard them laid them up in their heart, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all them that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers. Folks, do you understand that there are people here on planet Earth that hate you because you are Christ beings? I'm just stating a fact which has just been stated in the scripture. There are people on planet Earth that hate you because you profess God. And because you profess the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they hate you. And they are your enemies. You haven't chosen them as an enemy, but they've chosen you as their enemy. And out of their hate, they desire to kill you. That's why they hijacked airplanes and fly them into buildings, because they hate you. And it's not just those that live on the other side of the ocean. There are those here within our own country that mock you, who despise you, who vilify you, who denigrate you. They hate you because you love God. And you need to understand, there are people here on planet Earth that don't, they're just not neutral. They hate you. And they call you their enemy. And you can sing songs all you want. All we are saying is give peace a chance. Folks, that's passivity. Peace is about being in right relationship with God. They hate you and vilify you and want to kill you. If it's at possible, live at peace with all men. You heard that before? It's not always possible, because there's people on planet Earth that hate you. Why? Because you're involved in the most important thing going on planet Earth. You're involved in their evangelism. You're involved in bringing them out of darkness into light. And they love their darkness. They love their sin. The most important thing on planet Earth is not the economy. It's not the fact that the dollar's cratering, that we're going to lose it as a reserve currency. It's not the fact that inflation is running rampant. All those things are tragic. All those things are true. But the most important thing on planet Earth is the work you and I are involved in. It's the work of evangelizing people that don't know the Savior. And because you're involved in that, and because you're true to Him, they hate you because they love their sin. That's what the text is talking about. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of them that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. We're involved in helping people in the act of remission of sins, acknowledging their sinners, turning from their sin, turning to their Savior. It's a physical work that you and I are involved in, and there's a spiritual aspect as the Holy Spirit goes before us, reproving those people of their sin, eternal judgment, and righteousness, right standing before God. The Holy Spirit does that supernaturally. You and I do it physically. We're in the world helping them see the light. That's what this building's all about. It's not just the building. It's not just your money. It's stewardship, and it's a spiritual act so that we would be a lighthouse for those that love their darkness. And while you do that, don't you dare think there aren't those in this world that hate you because you're doing it. and want to marginalize you, want to impugn your integrity, and want to vilify you, and ultimately some want to kill you. And I think, for it's all said and done, there'll be those that want to imprison us within this country. Hello, you heard it here first. Sing your songs all you want, but understand this is the reality of the spiritual warfare that we're in right here. Do you expect God to show up and do great things in our midst? I hope you do. I hope you say, He's a great God. Nothing is too hard for our God. Nothing is impossible for Him. Why don't we close in a song? What song would you sing? How about this? To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Now, folk, I'm going to sing it. If I sing it by myself, it'll be ugly. If you drown me out, it'll be a beautiful aroma to the very nostrils of God as it ascends up to Him. Let's sing this song like we really mean it, expecting God to do a miracle in our midst and giving Him all the praise and glory that He is due. Amen. Our benediction. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the floodgates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, may the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. See you tonight, brothers and sisters. I love you. Whoever has the envelope and the tickets, bring it my way.
We want two of those tickets.
Okay, let's see if we can find them here.
For that guy.
Here's the envelope.
I couldn't believe that when I opened that beautiful? Up and I said, let's count that.
I think that's good. Here's tickets.
I need two. They're okay. 25 each.
Yep.
They're $50.
You got it. Bless you.
We were there last year.
The Lord healed me once, and I've witnessed the healing. The Lord healed me once. I had salivary gland, and it swells up. Well, I had the doctor give me medicine for it 3 or 4 or 5 times. And I was taking another guy, my best friend, to a Baptist meeting. Anyway, I was in the bathroom looking at my mouth because I had a salivary gland infection right at that time. And I saw that thing shrink up. I saw it go away. And my feeling is once the Lord heals you, you're healed. It doesn't come back. You may die or get something of... And I've had a salivary gland infection on this side, and I'm since then. But I believe it's never coming back on my left side.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. I think Buddy Griffin in our church has some of these.
Okay.
I think he does.
Yeah.
I think he does.
And in our church, the tape.
The tape comes with the book.
Okay.
The book and tape are sold together.
We do have it in the bookstore.
Is this in the bookstore? Well, there you go. I didn't know that. Yes, sir.
3 weeks ago, on Saturday, I was in New York, and in chest pain. I started popping nightmares. They'd go away and come back. All through the night, chest pain. Couldn't sleep. All day, Sunday. Kept popping nightmares. Kept coming. All night, Sunday night. All day, Monday night. I'm at the office. The guy I work for told me on the phone, he said, well, you're on it.
yes, took some blood. And
go down
didn't give me anything. Just while I'm there, my concern is showed up. And they said to me, he said, Dad, a lot of people pray up here. So I went home, they sent me up with some more appointments for echocardiogram, a bunch of stress tests, a bunch of other stuff. I went home, chest pain went away in about a couple of hours. The shortness of breath went away. I have not had a chest pain since. I've not had a shortness of breath since. I went back to the doctor last week, to a cardiologist, and I told her that.
Sometimes he uses doctor's orders. He's like the Duke's American. He uses demands. Sometimes he does it supernaturally. Either way, great things he had done.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's
really
good.
After you asked for people to testify, it just came to my mind. My brother was a missionary in Liberia, and it was when they were having a civil war and the uprising and they were killing everybody, you know. And my parents, who were a wonderful, godly people, my dad sat up in bed with my mother. I just saw Phil, who was covered with blood. I don't know where it came from, but we got to pray. And they prayed urgently for about 3 hours. And my brother, later said, he had to get his son to the airport to get him out of the country because they were closing the airport. They weren't going to use it anymore. And he feels sure my parents saved his life. Well, God saved his life.
I understand. You know, I've heard many a testimony just like that.
Just amazing.
Had,
you know,
compelled to pray, and circumstance one later, God moving.
It was like less than a month later, the church said, you've got to come out.
Wow.
I couldn't leave him there anymore. But anyway.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Are we going to be able to get a DVD of Last Sunday?
You know, it's a good question. About the 10th person asked me that today, I'll find out.
I know. I answered it about 15 times in the bookstore
yeah.
this week.
And?
I haven't gotten an answer
okay,
yet.
I need to let Ron know lots of people asking for it.
Did you know that he sang something at a beautiful
Yeah, I heard
voice.
That. I've heard that, yeah. God is good, isn't he?
He's a sweet man.
I've heard that, too. I had lunch with him a number of years ago. The Lord, He is good.
You know, the preacher that preaches at the Deaf Church, which is a mission of First Baptist.
Beautiful. Yeah.
He preached his son's funeral. And I had never heard this story. And Josh was telling me about it on the way home.
Pretty cool story.
And when just as Josh got out of James Dobson played
yeah.
that recording.
Cool.
And I cried all the way.
Oh, me too. I cried all three times I heard it in class.
I still cry.
And me too. Hey, big brother Dan.
Little known fact, the reason why they named him John is because the song wouldn't have worked. Peter, James, and Zachariah. See, your grandkids wouldn't have sung it.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't understand this.
There
you can't
go.
Just make everything so hard. It's it works with the song.
Good. Yeah, I wanted it to be. Good. Good. Bless you. Hey, my brother.
How you doing,
buddy? How you doing? And sometimes he goes ahead and calls us home.
Amen.
Is it appointed unto man? His ways are higher than our ways.
Yes.
Has the tide come in and gone out and come back in?
Yeah, the adrenaline is over, and now we're getting down to the gut feelings.
Did you have life insurance on Kim?
Yes.
Good. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, enough to, enough to take care of necessities, not much, but along with mine, I had a small policy to cover.
Was it whole life, or did you have a term insurance policy?
It was life.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good shape there. Thank goodness.
My little boy says, Mom, come here. He takes me back to my bedroom. go through a whole